This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, Sharp Money, as we welcome you back. Thanksgiving week. You know, I'm going to say it. And big guy, I don't care what you have to say about this. Even with cranberry sauce involved, Thanksgiving week is the best week on the calendar all year. As we get you back here, Sharp Money, of course, you got the three games coming up on Thanksgiving. I see our next guest. He's bobbing his head. He's a smart guy. John Jansen is going to join us. Now, here's a little controversy. You can check out John Jansen, who does a great job. Fox Sports Philly, the gambler host, at JJansen34 on Twitter. He's on 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time, which means right now. So true or false, you bailed on your show to come do this hit with us, John?
Yeah, why would I? I'm already with Sean for 3 hours today, and we're doing another show after that in Hard Rock in Philly. So we're already too much of Sean. I want to talk to you guys. We have you on in the studio all the time. Now, mind it, we're on during the show, so we don't have volume on. It's just because of the beautiful faces that we get to see on the screen. So
yes, it is. You wonder, is that Dustin Sweetelson or is it Ryan Gosling? Is what you think about?
I'll do another button for you, John. I'll do one more for you.
We're in Philadelphia.
You might as well. Okay, let's
keep the buttons down. We like that.
Yeah, let's bring John down really quickly, big guy, because I want to make sure that we can hear him. Let's just have him call us because the connection is a disaster. I want to find out what's happening in Philly right now. As we set up the connection and call John back, here's the deal as far as the number. Again, I think there's sometimes, and Steve Fezzik's going to join us in just a little bit. I think there's times where, and Fezzik talks about this all the time, he's just attacking numbers at times. And if I'm looking and I see a +3 and it's Philly and it's Kansas City, I'm just taking the team that's catching three. And that's what I did this morning. Now, most of those threes are gone. DraftKings was sitting 115 on the 2.5 with one, or when we started the program, they're now 118. And I tell you that the 2.5 went from 115 to 118 as far as juice. What does that mean? They're climbing steadily back, DraftKings to Kansas City lane 3. You know, timing and temperament, those are two attributes that are so important when it comes to sports betting. Timing, when you get the number, getting the best of it, and then temperament, not losing yourself and getting out of your shoes. Well, the timing, you could have gotten Philly catching three earlier today. It looks like if you hold off, you may hit three again. But remember, there's going to be immediate buyback when the Eagles do go to three. So that number will dip right back down to 2.5. You have to be very vigilant. You have to be very on top. Again, we always talk about the trading screens. Go to VSiN.com for the splits. You can see the numbers moving, right? But again, I'm blind betting it. I'll ask Fezzik about this when he sits in with us. I don't see a distinction between these two teams. And again, home field advantage, it used to be the implied three. It's probably 1.7, 1.8 to 2.2, somewhere in there. Now, maybe a little bit shaded more for the Chiefs there in Kansas City. I don't see a distinction between the two. So if I can get one catching three, the most important number when it comes to betting the NFL, I'm going to take it. And that's where we sit right now. However, the Chiefs, mostly across the board, are laying 2.5. Big guy, where are we sitting with John?
We got John back. John, you on the line, right?
Yes, I am. I got you. And really good analysis on that three, because I just saw it switch as well. So I'm on. I got the Chiefs, I hate to say early, it's been 2.5 a lot, but I did get the Chiefs 2.5. So I'm very happy with that number if it stays at three. Especially.
Wonderful. John, thanks for switching to the phone. We can hear you perfectly. Fox Sports Philly, the gambler host, John Jansen joins us. So we'll start here. Just an overview. Where are the Eagles? Obviously 8-1, but just give us an overview of the team, the vibes there in Philly.
Yeah, overall pretty good. I mean, they went to the bye with a big win, big division win. It wasn't the prettiest game, and I could say I was at the game and watching it. A lot of the times, Dallas looked better, especially Dak. I think Dak has been amazing this year. We're starting to see, you know, EPA and some other numbers starting to show Dak is one of the best quarterbacks this year. But still, it's the Eagles have won that game. They're 8-1 going into the bye week, and the bye week came at a very crucial time when Jalen Hurts' knee injury was really starting to bother him. So it's going to be interesting, I think, in one aspect of this game is just watching to see if Jalen Hurts ends up running the ball more. And we know in the passing game as well, quarterbacks end up getting better because they can move in the passing game. Joe Burrow had a lower leg injury. Trevor Lawrence had a lower leg injury. And once those guys looked healthier, everything started to get better. So I think with Hurts, it's just how healthy is that knee going to be and how much better can he play if it's healthy?
Yeah, John,
give us an idea. Go ahead, big guy. Go ahead.
How much do you think the issues where they were, you know, playing with fire with a lot of these teams, a lot of these close games leading into the bye, how much was that Hurts' knee versus maybe losing both coordinators in the offseason or taking a step back? How much do you put on Jalen Hurts' knee not being 100%?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything. New scheme, an offensive coordinator. Everything looks pretty similar in terms of numbers from last year to this year. If you look across the board, the Eagles still rate high in a lot of offensive categories, the same way they did last year. A little bit different in how they're doing it. They were a big-time running team last year. This year, it seems like more of a passing team, and that makes sense. Hurts another year into his career, getting better as a passer, and I think we're starting to see elite signs of a passer from Jalen Hurts. And they also have A.J. Brown, who's the best, one of the best wide receivers in the league right now. So it's a little bit different. Numbers are the same. The one number that's just different is red zone. And of course, you can keep teams in games if you're scoring 3 instead of 7. And that was the biggest thing. And it was hard to kind of pinpoint what the issue was because the Eagles have the best goal line play in all of football with the tush push or the brotherly shove, if you want to call it that. They do have big time targets. A.J. Brown's a big target. Dallas Goedert was a big target. So they weren't kind of, it wasn't physicality either. It just was some bad mistakes happening in the red zone. And I think a lot of it is running back as well. Offensive line run blocking is graded out very well. I know they get Cam Jurgens back, so it could get even better, but they were already run blocking very well. They just don't have the running backs. You look at rushing yards over expected for running backs. I think it's a pretty good stat to see what they're doing compared to what the blocking is. And the running backs just aren't running the ball very well. Kenneth Gainwell isn't very good. DeAndre Swift had a great start, but he seems to be slowing down a bit. So it's just going to be interesting now that we're out of the bye week. If they can run the ball better in the red zone, if that happens. But really, I think the issue and why games are close is just red zone.
Okay, our buddy John Chance, you got three plays on the Super Bowl rematch. And I'm going to start here. Kansas City's best unit thus far this year has been their defense. If they do have a weakness on defense, Kansas City, John, it's been stopping the run. However, you're going to skirt that a bit. You think Hurts is going to have some success throwing the football. You've got Jalen Hurts going over 235 and a half as far as pass yards.
Yeah, it's always tough when you're trying to a game like this because you know the Eagles – we think can run the ball and Kansas City can't stop the run, but I just want to go to what has been working for the Eagles and what I think they are. They are a passing team now. You know, it's a little bit different and Kansas City has been excellent. I think Steve Spagnuolo has done an amazing job with blitzing, with simulated pressures. I know that's a big thing you've kind of honed in on now with defense. And Steve Spagnuolo and the defense has done all of this. And especially Chris Jones looked amazing. Their secondary has looked really good. But it's just a little bit different when you have a big-time playmaker quarterback who's been a playmaker in the pocket in Jalen Hurts and then a big-time playmaker on the outside. You know, it's not just speed that's beating him. You know, Miami's speed. So speed can sometimes burn you. But it's physicality. It's that Jalen Hurts is a very physical player when he's out there, also physically just gifted as a thrower as well. But A.J. Brown is physical. You can try and press him. You can try and double cover him, but he's just bigger, faster, and stronger than everybody lined up against him. And we've just seen that succeed so much. I just have a hard time believing that the Eagles are all of a sudden, after weeks and weeks and weeks of not being able to run the ball, just kind of dial that up and expect to run so well against Kansas City. This, to me, is a passing team. I think they're going to live and die by it tonight. It's probably going to be a tight game. I imagine they're going to be a little bit behind early on. Kansas City coming off the bye, we know how good they are, prepared they are. So if the Eagles are behind, this is just to me, it seems like a Jalen Hurts put it all on his shoulders. It's his responsibility. He threw well against Kansas City last year, and I think he can continue that.
Love to hear it, John. I'm actually on the DeAndre Swift under combo yards tonight, so that's music to my ears. Defensive side for Philly. Against Mahomes in this offense. Obviously, the pass rush for Philly has been great for the last couple of years. They're third in the NFL in quarterback pressures to start the year, and Mahomes is way worse when he has guys in his face. Do you think they can throw Patrick Mahomes off of his game at home in Arrowhead tonight in primetime?
It's one of the most interesting matchups, and I talked about it on my show a little earlier today about that. They are, you know, all the numbers look really good with the Eagles. You know, as you just said, kind of win rate for pressures, actually getting home and getting sacks. They're doing very well. The problem is, though, it sometimes disappears for long stretches. And I think the game that really worried me the most, and I think it was both games that this happened, was when the Eagles took on Washington. And the Eagles just could not get home at all. And finally, in the last game where they were taking on Washington on the road in Washington at FedEx Field, they finally got home at the end. It happened against Dallas, too. Dallas, they didn't get a lot of pressure. Finally, at the end, Josh Sweat gets the sack. It basically wins them the game. So they've been able to get pressures, but they just go so long without it. And I'm just worried that they can disappear in this game for too long for Patrick Mahomes to kind of obviously open things up for the receivers. I think the Eagles should do well. I know secondary doesn't rate very well, and Bradberry and Slay haven't had great seasons, but it doesn't matter at all if Patrick Mahomes is getting some time and he's able to give those guys time like Rashee Rice and Sky Moore to get open. But yeah, I think that's the most fascinating matchup. I think the Eagles can get home, but I'm very afraid it's going to be very long stretches without them getting to Patrick Mahomes. And I think Patrick Mahomes can succeed early on in this game.
Impressive. Impressive job, kid. We'll have you on again, especially during your show. We like you bailing on your show to come do ours, of course.
Oh, I love
John Jansen.
Yeah. Any chance to call on Sean Brace. I love it.
Fox Sports Philly, the Gambler host. You can check it out weekdays, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Enjoy the game tonight, John. Appreciate you.
Yep, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate your support. And I almost... He used to be at SiriusXM, and one of the things, they wanted you to sound kind of vanilla, like they didn't want accents. And I almost said, my gosh, I've never heard a dude from Philly without a Philly accent. And then he said something like long.
Yeah.
And the accent just came pouring out of him. You could hear the Pennsylvania coming out.
Say words like water, water.
Water. I mean, it is a trifling accent.
It's that in Baltimore, pretty rough accent, if we're being
Baltimore?
Honest.
Have you been to New England? And that's coming from a dude from Michigan. Patrick, like, love, loathe is next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Shout out to Reggie, our director here on Sharp Money, and he's got a rack of kids, so after work, he may want to stop by Total Wine Spirits, Beer, and More. Lowest prices for over 30 years. You can find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine. Please drink responsibly. Must be 21 years or older. Got you back here. Look, you might be... At this time, it's like attrition. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher, as we welcome you back. Hope you had a great weekend. Again, mate, some of these teams, you see them over and over. It might feel attritional where it's like they wear you down. And it is a Super Bowl rematch, but it was a great Super Bowl. I'll take Philly in Arrowhead at Kansas City. I'll take Hurts. I'll take Mahomes all week and twice on Sunday. And tonight you got 2.5. Let me take a look at the juice because that's the important part here. Again, you're always monitoring the juice to see which way the number's going. We opened up over at DraftKings the show, what, an hour and 16 minutes ago, big guy. Kansas City was 2.5 minus 115. Kansas City's 2.5 minus 118. So a positive sign if you're waiting for the 3 with the Eagles. Now, it's not going to last. Again, anytime a 3 pops up, which is the key number, it's going to get hit quickly and fall back down most likely. So again, if you're monitoring, go to VSiN.com, check out the betting splits, and you can see which way the number and the money is going. As we welcome you back, we're going to get to like, love, loathe in a second, but you were just tripping out during the break. And I had to yell at you, don't tell me anything, but you're trying to get some Robert Saleh. Like, I guess, did he just give a presser? And why does that interest you so much?
He was asked specific questions about evaluating the quarterback position and asked about, in retrospect, should they have had more proven number two quarterback than Zach Wilson? I have not listened to what he said. I'm going to react to it when you do on the air. But I just thought these were very interesting questions. And the fact that it was popping up in my ex Twitter feed leads me to believe that maybe the answers might take some shots at some people.
My Irvin Magic Johnson broadcasting instincts say that those clips aren't worth playing. Why? We already know. You just said it perfectly when we were talking about Saleh. You said he's used stoicism as far as his answers
shockingly
to the Wilson debacle, and he's been shockingly stoic and never gave you anything. Why do you think he'd give us something today? Why would you waste our airtime?
Maybe he's at a breaking point. Perhaps he is. Perhaps he isn't. I'd like to
find
out.
Does he seem like the type of dude that's going to give you breaking point news? I'm breaking?
Well, he's a guy that showed me when he was on the sidelines for the 49ers that he was a super emotional guy, and we have not seen that emotion since he took over as head coach. Credit
right,
to
but
him.
He's cagey.
Credit
he's
to
cagey.
Him. Like, that's a credit.
He's cagey.
But, yeah, but he, I don't know. Everyone snaps at some point.
I've seen you snap.
Yeah, I snap a lot.
You do. You do. And you know what's weird about you snapping is that all of our bosses can hear the feed of this show during the commercials, and you've actually snapped during the breaks, and they can hear you going off. Now, me, I would never do anything like that. But you, in particular, you've gone off, and people can hear it. You just have, you must have so much equity, Dustin Sweetelson equity at VSiN, where you feel comfortable going off, and management's not going to do anything to your punk ass.
Well, they just accept I'm two-faced. They know that the person that I present to everyone else is one, and then the people... who I present to behind the scenes is another person. That's all. It's just accepted.
You're super shady. Like, if we're being honest,
I'm very shady.
Like, I think I would be perceived as being more shady, but you're way more shady.
No, because I have a refusal to be blunt with people if it's going to hurt their feelings. So part
of my passive aggressive.
Yeah. And part of my shadiness is like, I just beat around the bush. I'm not honest with people. I tell people what they want to hear. You know why? They'll like me.
Well, speaking of like, it's now time for Like, Love, Loathe here on Sharp Money.
Recapping the weekend of action with what we liked.
All right, all right, all right.
What we loved.
I had an awesome time.
Like, I know that you had an awesome time, okay? I think the entire town knows that you had an awesome time.
And what we loathe.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
This is Like, Love, and Loathe on Sharp Money.
I'm not positive there was a team. I'll start us here with my like this week. And my like this week, I'm not positive there was a team that needed a win more on Sunday than the Cleveland Browns. Okay. Of course, playing a division rival, the Pittsburgh Steelers, a 13-10 ugly AFC North showdown. The defense and Myles Garrett special. They do have a tough schedule, but all of a sudden, watch out, Stefanski. I see you. They're 7-3. And if you take a look, thanks to the win, Cleveland is now, big guy, two games up on the Colts and the Bengals for the final AFC playoff spot. They're a game and a half over Buffalo. The Browns currently hold the 5 seed and the AFC, and they're a half a game behind the Baltimore Ravens for the AFC North lead. That's freaking tremendous. And if you think about, you know, Deshaun Watson was out for two of those wins. Deshaun Watson, of course, their franchise at quarterback, done for the year. It's not great. Nick Chubb being done for the year, not great. Like, I would be hunting for Cleveland Brown numbers in the futures market if Nick Chubb were still available, because this defense is so special and all you need is a game manager. That's all you need. Nick Chubb is a difference maker. That offensive front for the Browns is a difference maker. Defensively, we're literally talking about a Ravens from double zero type team. Like, this defense is special when you watch them. And my like this week is Dorian Thompson Robinson. I hate to do it. Where's my back padding machine? But coming out of the draft, I said DTR in the 5th round was an absolute steal. Was he perfect against the Steelers? No, but that's what Mike Tomlin does. He definitely outplayed your boy, Kenny Pickett. He was 24 of 43, 165. 20 on the ground. But here's the important part. Now, this is a dude that started 5 years at UCLA. He just turned 24 on Tuesday in DTR, big guy. Like, he's got a plethora of experience, a boatload. And when the ball was in the Browns' hands on their own 35 with a minute 18 to go, that's why you draft a kid with that experience. Because, again, whether it was completions to Elijah Moore or Njoku or Cooper, he was just calm and collected in that final drive, the walk-off, the 34-yarder from Hopkins. That is a team, again, at 7-3. Maybe take a look at the market right now for the conference and the Super Bowl for the Browns. That's their 4th time this year. They had a game-winning score in the final 2 minutes. The formula is pretty simple for the Browns. They are going to run the football. Now, it hurts without Chubb. I get it. And again, the ceiling's a little bit lower, or a lot a bit lower, as far as the postseason with Dorian Thompson Robinson as opposed to Deshaun Watson, because Watson was starting to cook. I get the ceiling's a little bit lower, but when you have a special defense And again, juxtapose that defense to what's happening right now in an 8-2 Detroit. Like, the Detroit defense is legitimately bottom third. So much is being covered up by Ben Johnson. And if you're looking at 10-1 on the Lions, what are we looking at right now on the Browns?
Well, how about just in division? Or not in division, in conference. In conference right now for Cleveland is 20-1.
Right. Now, overall, the Lions are 10-1.
Yes.
I hate to overuse the word value, but where is the value in a team with one of the worst defenses in all of football, the Detroit Lions, and they went to Baltimore and got punched in the face? They came back home against Chicago and should have lost that game yesterday and should have lost the game against the pitiful Chargers team. Where is the value in 10-1? And conversely, 20-1 feels juicy for a convoluted AFC.
Let me give you a different value compared to the Lions. Dan Campbell, as we mentioned, +125, favorite for coach of the year. We've mentioned on the show, it's D'Amico Ryans, who's the second favorite at 275. And then I have a bet on Mike Tomlin, who's now down to 15-1. Kevin Stefanski at 28-1 for coach of the year. This team goes to the postseason, losing their quarterback and their all-pro running back, and they somehow make the postseason? Tell me why he doesn't have a shot at 28-1.
I'll give you the answer. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes or no?
I might be right. Let me sit down again. Hold on.
The winner, the coach who coaches the team that wins that division is your coach of the year. This is by far the toughest division in football. If it's Stefanski or if it's Tomlin. Now, John Harbaugh is not going to be in the mix because he has so much talent. So I get that. But again, if Stefanski or Tomlin were to win the North, tell me why they shouldn't be coach of the year.
Look, I already
have as opposed to a division in the NFC North, which is completely in flux, a Green Bay Packer team that's trying to figure out what they have at quarterback, a Minnesota team that lost their quarterback and obviously a little regression there. And again, it's just a Detroit Lions team that had everything set up talent-wise in division. The Lions are far and away the most talented team. Chicago, are you kidding me? If the Browns losing their two best players, excuse me, two of their three best players, Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb, and Deshaun Watson, to be fair, if they lose two of them and they win that division, Stefanski's your coach of the year. Conversely, same thing with Tomlin. If Tomlin wins the division with Kenny freaking Pickett, I'm sorry, he's the greatest coach of all time.
Yeah, no. And Stefanski 28-1, look, he may not win it, but 28-1 based on what he's done so far, he's another guy kind of slipping under the radar, maybe not getting enough credit for how good of a coach he is.
Tease me on your like, big guy.
My like revolves around a guy returning yesterday, and somehow the quarterback plays better when he's in the lineup.
I thought her name was Elizabeth, and she serves drinks at the D.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Hey, big guy, what's my kid? What's that dude say on TikTok about Zin?
Little Zimbabwe? Little Zinachino?
You know what? I think I need another vice. All right, let's take a break. Zin nicotine pouches.
I'm maxed out.
I want some. Have you ever tried Zin?
No, I'm maxed out on vices. I got too many right now. We're trying.
I would just like to tell the people that are supplying Zin for us here at VSIN, I want some. All right, I guess I could just go buy some at my local convenience store, or I could go to ZYN.com, but we're always debating here on Sharp Money. Who number one? Zin nicotine pouches are there. Again, it's clean, doesn't have all the additives. It's America's number one nicotine pouch. Go to the convenience store, 7-Eleven, you know, that type of thing, or ZYN.com. As a warning, the product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We do have the Robert Sala quotes. And again, Dustin does a lot of things amazingly. As we welcome you back, I'm Patrick Maher. He is Dustin Sweetelson. This is Sharp Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Happy holidays. Hope you had a nice weekend. Got a great game. Sitting 2.5. Hold on. Let me just check to see if DraftKings went to 3. Again, I'm trying to keep on top of it IRL, because once it goes to 3, I'm going to give it to you. And then you got to hit it quickly. Take the Eagles +3 once it gets there at DraftKings. Now, it was there this morning. You got to hit it quickly, because my assumption is once it hits 3, it's going to go right back down. The big guy's great. And again, he does a lot of things great, but his instincts sometimes when it comes to broadcasts are a disaster. He thinks playing Robert Saleh quotes today, talking about the quarterback change, Tim Boyle in the Pride of UConn, and of course, Zach Wilson out for the Black Friday game down in Miami. He thinks that playing the Saleh quotes would be valuable here on the show. My assumption is the dude is going to say nothing and it's going to bore you to tears. So maybe we'll play some just to play a game. Was Dustin right?
It's just like why I went out with the young lady I went out with on a date last Tuesday. I knew nothing was going to come from it, but I wanted to be able to say after the fact, I went out with her and saw if anything was going to come from it. I knew nothing
okay,
would.
Okay, you just lied.
And nothing did.
First off, you lied. Was that the date you ran into our boss, John Goulet, and Matt Brown?
It is.
Awkward. Secondly, you told me you went out with her because she was thick with three C's.
Thick in certain areas.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Little holiday cooking. You feel me? Some stuffing? Like, love, loathe. We're right in the middle of it. My like was DTO, the big guy. My like was DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. And they're just doing it. That Cleveland team has been spectacular based on what they dealt with this year. It's now time for your like, Dustin.
Yeah, rare instance. I was into the white meat, not the dark meat that time. All right, my like is going to be the San Francisco 49ers. And it has a lot to do with Brock Purdy. I had a lot of questions about Purdy coming into the year where all these defensive coordinators had a full offseason to prepare for what he was doing in this Shanahan system. And I really questioned how he's going to look. And I know there was that rough patch, but I have some excuses for that rough patch. Did you know when Deebo Samuel is off the field, Brock Purdy is not a good football player for some reason? Ayuk is the number one. But for whatever reason, coming into yesterday, he was 8-0 with Deebo on the field, 7-5 without Deebo on the field was Brock Purdy. All five of his interceptions this year came when Deebo Samuel was on the sidelines or injured. Week 6-8 without Deebo and without Trent Williams, San Francisco went 0-3. They averaged just 17 points per game. He completed just 62.5% of his passes, and he had 3 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. For whatever reason, when Deebo Samuel is there, Brock Purdy is significantly better. And as this MVP race, I'm going to sound crazy here, and I'm also going to contradict myself because I was yelling at someone off the air yesterday about how he can't win the award. This thing is wide open for MVP. There is no clear-cut favorite to me. And Brock Purdy moved from 20-1 down to 18-1. I think he absolutely has a shot if he continues to play like this down the stretch. And also, let's talk about his mindset. Yesterday after the game, the quarterback of San Francisco was asked about bouncing back after that rough 0-3 stretch earlier in the year.
I was more upset with not even like that we were complacent or anything, but almost like, you know, we're just going to walk into the game and it's going to be given to us in a sense. Like, I had to get back to, man, we got to go take it. We got to go earn it every single game. It doesn't matter who we're playing. It's the NFL. Anything can happen on any Sunday. And so that's like the chip that I was talking about. And so sort of getting back to that, you know, and improving myself every drive, every play, that I can be the guy for this team, you know, I have to earn it every single week.
Reggie, pull that down. Was that AI generated? Like, what? Again, first off, a couple of things. One, I like your pick. Over the last 2 weeks against the Bucks and Jags, two pretty good defenses, he's 40 of 51 for 629, 6 touchdowns and no picks. So I like Purdy. But your argument, you were making an argument for Deebo Samuel.
No, I'm making the argument
yourself
that this team does not play well when Debo's not there. And now that he's back,
so isn't your like Deebo Samuel?
I'm changing my like to Deebo Samuel. It was more the 49ers as a whole. I had to, as a whole, to bounce back after the rough stretch, come off the bye, go to the Jags' house and beat them the way they did, win against Tampa Bay yesterday. Brock Purdy's back to looking like a stud at quarterback. The Niners overall are my like this week.
Your first like is Deebo Samuel. Is your second like Trent Williams?
Sure.
Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy. We got a chip on our shoulder, although he is playing. And I'm wrong, big guy. I'm wrong about the kid.
I was wrong, too.
Just because I didn't think he was going to be big enough. I thought the defenses would catch up to him. He is schemed up so well. It does have a little bit of a Goff feel with McVay, where it could potentially run out. But right now he's playing great.
But he fits what Shanahan wants to do the most, because he's not looking to run. He's athletic enough to create pockets, makes quick decisions. He's accurate with the ball, gets rid of the ball quick. Like, he is the perfect guy for this system that Shanahan likes to run. It's like if Rex Grossman had any ability. That's what Brock Purdy is.
Rex Grossman was the quarterback of a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, he stunk, though, but Shanahan loved him. Shanahan loved him and John Beck. Couldn't get enough of John Beck.
You know who else the Shanahans were absolutely single white female obsessed with?
Who?
Kirk Cousins.
Well, they were right about that.
They didn't want RG3. They wanted Cousins.
They did.
And they drafted him after they drafted a dude 2 overall at the same position.
Same draft. Same exact draft.
Same draft.
Imagine today someone uses a first-round pick, second overall, on a quarterback. 2 rounds later, they draft another quarterback.
What animal did Shorty boil in single white female?
Wait, what?
Yeah, she boiled an animal.
Someone boiled an animal?
Just answer the question.
I don't know.
A rabbit.
Who boiled a rabbit?
Glenn Close.
I only know her from 101 Dalmatians. That's what I know her from.
I might have made that up. My love this week is the Texans. Did you have the Texans at 6-4, 10 games in?
No, because I'd be waving that ticket in front of you every segment of the show.
You know what? Do me a favor. Look up their preseason win total over at DraftKings. I'm just curious. The Texans, my assumption is it was like 4.5, maybe 5?
5.5, I believe.
With a bunch of juice to the under? 7 games to go. CJ Stroud just had his worst performance as a pro. He threw 3 interceptions. And by the way, that's a pretty inspired Cardinals team. Like, again, like or love or loathe Kyler Murray, he's a big upgrade and he's dangerous. You saw what I did there. And that was an inspired team coming off a win. You know, the Cardinals scored first, but the Texans, see, to me yesterday was indicative. You can talk about the Jags in week 3, where they went down there and absolutely whooped them 31-17. Yesterday, to me, when you need it, when they're starting to mount, when the pressure is mounting because people are talking about you at 5-4 as a potential postseason team in the AFC, which is muddled, to win a game against an inspired Cardinals team and Devin Singletary and Tank Dell and Nico Collins stepped up when Stroud had his worst performance as a pro. But you know who really stepped up, big guy, and why this is so impressive? That is Will Anderson and Christian Harris. They took over in the fourth quarter. That defense took over in the fourth quarter, the Texans defense. And again, I talked about week 3, Dustin, 31-17 win over the Jags. Well, guess who they host in week 12? The Jags. Okay. The division's on the line. What's the number on that? I think it opened Jags laying a point. It's now DraftKings has a point. The others, like Circa, where you're sitting right now, has the Jags lane too. Feels a tad disrespectful? No.
They did just beat them. And by the way, it's been proven over the last few weeks it was not a fluke. And a guy who doesn't look like a fluke is CJ Stroud. This was him being asked if throwing those interceptions yesterday will change his approach.
Steph Curry don't ever stop shooting. I'm gonna keep letting it ride, you know. I don't got no shame in my game. I definitely got to be smarter, but no confidence is taken away from me. I'm gonna keep letting it fly. I mean, there's things where it can go either way, you know. And they got the better of me today, and that's just the NFL, you know. So I'm blessed enough to come out here with a dub, and my confidence isn't going nowhere. I'm gonna keep shooting it. And I'm gonna keep letting it fly, and that's what I think.
I love my love. Do you love my love, the Texans?
I love your love so much, I can't get enough CJ Stroud, and I might be betting them this week.
By the way, single white female, I was pretty close with Glenn Close. It was Bridget Fonda and Jennifer Jason Lee. So there's that.
This
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
How about tonight, Monday Night Football? New customers, download the DraftKings app, bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A-R-P. It's a great deal. I actually saw the deal when I was watching Red Zone yesterday. Good job, DraftKings. $5 gets you $150. Why would you pass up on the free money? There's no point. Also, no sweat, same game parlay every day for all customers at DraftKings. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Shout to Reggie, our director. I got a couple things mixed up here. I said single white female, Glenn Close, that she boiled a rabbit. That's not true. Fatal Attraction, Glenn Close, boiled the rabbit. Okay, shout to Jennifer Jason Leigh and Bridget Fonda. I'm sorry I said that you boiled a rabbit. It wasn't you. Sharp Money. Steve Fezzik, professional handicapper. He'll have a bunch of plays coming up tonight, Monday Night Football. That's the big guy. Dustin Sweetelson live from the D. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you had a nice weekend and happy Thanksgiving week. We're busy, right? We've got a Super Bowl rematch coming up tonight. You got three games. It used to be two. Actually, it started with one, my Detroit Lions Thanksgiving. Then they added the Dallas Cowboys. Then they added the late game, which is freaking tremendous. Cocktails, stuffing, tryptophan, football. Now you wake up, you're battling for a 55-inch Samsung, and you're watching Tim Boyle and the Jets take on your boy Tua and the Miami Dolphins, who, by the way, are coming up on Like, Love, Loathe, you big lug.
Well, is it odd that for the first time, I don't know, in your lifetime, that on Thursday on Thanksgiving, the game actually matters? Like, there's something on the line here? Like, it's a season that is going well, despite how much you crush Dan Campbell every single week on the show. Like, is it odd that on Thanksgiving, it's no longer, well, they're losing in the third quarter, shut it off, go do something else. Like, you actually have to watch this game and the result matters.
And the Packers won, so the Packers are still in the mix. 7.5 is the number with the Lions laying it. I can hear the donks teasing that down to a point.
Well, no, the America's tease this week is them up. And then in the Commanders game, tease that down. Tease the Niners down, right? Yeah, the Niners down. Not the Niners, right. The Cowboys down. Cowboys down.
But you're right about one thing. Like, for years and years, I would say about the Lions on Thanksgiving, I'm sorry, America. It's very clear this year. You know what I have to say? You're welcome. You're welcome, America.
Steal my bit.
Enjoy the Honolulu Blue and Silver. Enjoy Kid Rock and Eminem, because there's a 100% chance you're going to see him on camera. Robert Ritchie, who grew up in the subdivision next to me. Yeah, look it up, kids.
Hold on. But the Eminem thing, I didn't think he was into sports. Now, maybe it was just because the Lions have been so abysmal his entire life.
Did you see Marshall Mathers?
He was going nuts.
Tweet after the game. Exclamation points. He must have fell on the fucking button. I didn't swear. I almost did.
I didn't even know he was into sports. That just lets you know where the Detroit Lions hype is right now.
It's time for your love, because we still have to get to our loathes. Your love, big guy, from the week 11 slate.
My loves are the big dogs. And I'm not talking about that clothing brand that existed in the 90s that we all wore with the big old Beethoven looking dog on it. You know what I'm talking about. Or is it just a fat kid thing? Mm-hmm. Was it just for husky kids, or did regular kids wear it too, Patrick?
Not sure, but go ahead.
Remember big dogs? Google big dogs. It's a clothing brand. Doesn't exist anymore. Anyway, the big dogs yesterday, 3-1 ATS. That was the Bucks, the Giants, and the Raiders. Two of them got to over double digits. If you got on the Giants earlier in the week, you could have gotten 9.5. And I just think it's a reminder, and it's more of a lesson for myself. I tried to get cutesy. I laid it in the first half and shortened that number up with the Niners against the Bucks, and I shortened up the Dolphins against the Raiders, and I did not win either of those bets in the first half. Sometimes you need to learn those lessons to be reminded. It's the freaking NFL. It's the Big 12. The competition is just too close, and when teams are getting that many points, you just got to look to the dog. You can't be laying it, and you can't try to do too much. I mean, also, there's an epidemic in the league where a lot of these teams don't know how to play with a lead. The 49ers were covering, and then they didn't know how to put the Buccaneers away at home. A lot of these teams, they just fail to put teams away, and they leave the back door open like some of my favorite video searches.
Go play intramurals, brother.
It's my favorite clip of all time.
Shout out to Dan Hawkins.
I play it.
You know what? Happy Thanksgiving, Dan Hawkins.
Shout out to UC Davis.
Hey, my loathe this week, it's abstract art. This team is abstract art. Some people appreciate it. Some people hate it. But you can't quite make sense of it. And it's like their head coach, who, and again, he's bright. He's interesting. But the head coach of this football team, he's not fully actualized Dustin Swedelson. He hasn't quite found himself as a head coach, nor should he. He's not even 40 years old. He coaches kind of messy. He's abstract art. His team mirrors his traits perfectly. And that is my loathe this week, the Dolphins and Mike McDaniel. Again, they're fun as hell to watch. That offense, it just hits you in many different ways. It's up, it's down, it's a roller coaster, speed. It's a lot of fun to watch, but it's like abstract art. You're just throwing paint at the wall and saying, here, buy this. It's not fully actualized. The team isn't there yet. The people that are deriding the Dolphins, again, three turnovers. Tua has eight picks on the year. He had eight picks all last year. They're a minus four in turnover margin. This isn't a team that's legit at 7-3. I will say they were playing a bad Raiders offense, so the defense stood up. Jalen Ramsey, who returned, had two interceptions. The defense played well, but it's the Raiders. It's Aiden O'Connell. What did you expect as a team that was on a two-game heater against Salami DeVito and the Jets, who are quarterbacked by Zach Wilson? We're quarterbacked by Zach Wilson. Now we're quarterbacked by Timothy, your boy, Donk Doll. Boy. Okay, whatever you, Doyle or whatever. The schedule is easy for the Dolphins. But again, I come back to this. I want to like the Dolphins. I love watching the Dolphins play, but it's abstract. They're not a fully actualized team, and generally you're going to take on the personality of your team. That's why the Lions were a disaster year one. Dan Campbell didn't know what he was doing. He didn't quite know who he was as a head coach. Year two started off disastrously, or like 2-7. Then all of a sudden he started to get comfortable in his skin as a head coach. Oh, by the way, he named Ben Johnson the offensive coordinator. That helps as well. But Dan Campbell now, he has a philosophy. He has a template. He knows what he's doing when he's going for fourth downs. He's not just YOLO balling it. He's not just throwing paint at the wall. There's an identity. That's not there in Miami yet. It's still abstract, not actualized. My loathe is a team that just beat the Raiders 20-13. But talking about your big dogs, the Dolphins, big guy, did not cover. That's my load.
I like the abstract because a lot of times, you know, you throw the paint at the canvas and it can look brilliant. And other times you can miss it completely. And that's what they did yesterday. I mean, they did not look in tune. They were just winging it, knowing that they had more talent and skill than the Dolphins to figure it out when they had to. But they were so sloppy in that first half. I mean, to come off the bye and to look that rusty, it was a bad look for the Dolphins. And this team is just like the Dallas Cowboys. They can beat these teams that are bottom feeders in the NFL. Every time they've been tested at Buffalo, at the Eagles, taking on the Chiefs, they've come up short. So I think you're right. I do believe in Mike McDaniel getting there one day, but he's not quite there yet. And unfortunately, I have a 32-1 ticket from them back last February that I don't think is going to come to fruition.
The team adopts the head coach's personality. I like McDaniel. I think he's fun. I think he's interesting.
He's refreshing.
But I think he's a bit of a mess. And that's the Dolphins right now. They're fun, they're interesting, but they're abstract. Your loathe this week.
My loathe is, it's going to sound weird because this guy went 18 of 26 for 246 and three touchdowns yesterday. I'm talking about Tommy DeVito. Because as a Giants fan, Tommy DeVito is going to do things now going forward that's going to give John Mara and Brian Daboll what they want in New York. And that's another couple years of Daniel Jones. This guy might actually end up playing them out of being able to draft that next quarterback of the future. And I have a conspiracy. I firmly believe the Washington Commanders laid down yesterday for two reasons. One, they don't want Ron Rivera back. Two, they don't want the Giants to draft Caleb Williams or Drake May. The Commanders let Tommy DeVito carve them up yesterday.
Sure.
And Tommy DeVito is proving to me why I just need to find a new team. I need to find a new
team. Big guy, I'm going to say something that's going to piss you off, but just bear with me. Hear me out. DeVito throws a nice ball. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, don't draft Caleb.
He does throw a nice deep ball. He does like his
everyone
deep ball
does against was, Washington.
Their secondary is a
they're horrible. The Commanders somehow had the worst defense defending teams against the pass coming into yesterday. They traded away their two best defensive players and yet somehow were laying 9.5 at one point against the Giants. It's just absurd. Coming
Salami
up next.
Salami DeVito off his best performance is the big guy's load. Professional handicapper Steve Fezzik next.